Herzlich willkommen zu Personality Talks, deinem Podcast für ein freies und inspiriertes Leben voller Persönlichkeit. Was will ich, wer bin ich und was brauche ich eigentlich für ein rundum zufriedenes Leben? Tue ich das, was ich liebe? Wenn du dir diese Fragen auch schon immer mal stellen wolltest und keine Angst vor den Antworten hast, dann bist du genau richtig hier bei uns. Ich bin Simone, Yoga- und Meditationslehrerin und habe zusammen mit meiner Freundin Sabine Personality Mag gegründet. Ein Online-Magazin rund um Persönlichkeitsentwicklung, Self-Care, Wellbeing, Wellness und Empowerment. Personality Talks ist der Podcast zum Magazin, in dem wir spannende Persönlichkeiten, Experten und Coaches zum Gespräch treffen, euch unsere Tipps für ein erfülltes Leben verraten und voneinander lernen. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Folge 35 von Personality Talks. In der heutigen Folge spreche ich mit einer ganz besonderen Frau. Tracy Stanley ist die Gründerin von Empowered Life Circle, einem Portal für Praktiken, Rituale und tantrische Lehren. Sie ist die Autorin des Bestsellers Radiant Rest, Yoga Nidra for Deep Relaxation and Awakened Clarity. Und vor allem ist sie eine ganz wunderbare Yoga Nidra und Meditationslehrerin. Ich habe Tracy im Podcast als eine ganz besondere Frau und eine ganz besondere Gästin erlebt. Sie ist lustig, entspannt und es war wahnsinnig angenehm, mit ihr zu sprechen. Bereits ihre Stimme und ihre Antworten und wie sie sie gegeben hat, haben mich ganz ruhig werden lassen. Wir sprechen im Podcast natürlich über die Kraft von Yoga Nidra, den Unterschied zwischen Yoga Nidra und Schlaf, die Bedeutung von Pausen und Erholung für unser Leben, warum Entscheidungen so wichtig sind, warum Zeit oftmals eine Ausrede für uns ist, warum ein kleiner Altar uns zu Hause helfen kann, welche Bedeutung Stille und Disziplin haben und warum Self-Inquiry, Selbstbefragungen, die in Tracys Buch gehäuft vorkommen, so wichtig für uns sind. Ich wünsche euch ein ganz entspanntes Zuhören mit Tracy Stanley. So a really warm welcome, Tracy Stanley. Hello, Tracy.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much, Simone, for having me here. I am honored to be spending time in sacred space with you.
We are honored to have you, Tracy, and we are lovers and fans of your book that is called Radiant Rest. And my first question is exactly about rest that we all need so much. So what would you say, what means rest to you after all what you experienced and what you learned in the past years about it?
That's such a good question. And I really think that for me, rest is the practice of non-doing.
And that is so hard for us, right? I'm just smiling because I had a phone call this morning with my partner that we are doing the magazine together. And we had been like, yeah, we need to do this and then we need to do that. And we were constantly talking about what we all need to do as moms, as founders of the magazine. And then we were laughing about ourselves because of this thing of, yeah, we have to do. And yes, we took a break and we were like, yeah, it's insane that we always think we have to do things. What do you think from your experience? Why is that so inside all of us, this need of doing things?
Well, you know, I think that we learn from a very early age that the more we do, the more we accomplish, the more material possessions that we have, the more we are up in the higher ranks of wherever it is, whether it's first in our class and getting the gold mm-hmm. star from the teacher, or, you know, the first chair in the orchestra, that there is mm-hmm. some benefit that comes from us doing and achieving. And it is true, right? It is true that by doing work and hard work and endeavoring to be good and accomplished at what it is that we have a passion for, that we get rewarded. The problem is that we don't get rewarded for actually looking inside of ourselves and allowing ourselves time to rest. So it's not really incorporated in this idea of our culture of doing and achieving, that rest is actually something that needs to be in the equation of that endeavoring for accomplishment, because it's like, oh, I'm going to fall behind somehow if I take a moment to rest, if I take a moment to take care of myself, if I honor myself with resting. And so I think that our culture at large really promotes this idea of the constant doing, and that instead of resting, we need to fill ourselves with caffeine, right? Or we need to fill ourselves with some, you know, whatever energy drink of the moment. And that somehow rest is lazy. Somehow rest means that you are not going to get to where you need to get to. And we've lost this idea that in order for us to be even more productive, even more clear, even more creative, even more inspired, that all of that comes from being truly, deeply rested. So in a way, if we want to be more successful, we should take time to rest so that we can actually think clearer and move away from all of the distraction that we have, right? Because there's a lot of distraction that is actually unnecessary and not really a part of doing what it is or being who it is that you want to be. And we could be replacing that distraction of Instagram and Facebook and binge watching with a little bit more rest. And it would make such a huge difference in our lives.
Usually when people get really deep in something, like you are, I would say, in the topic of rest and the topic of yoga nidra, they had like a certain experience where they learn. And I was imagining what that was in your case, where they learn from an experience of rest. Oh my God, something better happened than being all the time productive. And now, because I rested, I can achieve more, or I'm a better person, I'm a relaxed human, or better mom, or whatever. Could you, or do you remember the moment where it really clicked in your case and what it did to you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very profound moment because it was such a demarcation of understanding. Mm-hmm. It was something that happened over 20 years ago when I was introduced to deep relaxation, yoga nidra practices in a class. They weren't named. There was no big introduction or anything mm-hmm. fancy. It was basically lie down and do this practice as I guide you. And as I was guided into the practice, at some point in the practice, I lost awareness as to where I was in space and time. Mm-hmm. And then at some point I heard the teacher saying, deepen your breath, come back. And when I came back, what I realized is that I felt like I was floating in this liminal space, that space that we often feel when we're just about to fall asleep, or maybe even when we wake up without an alarm clock. And maybe the sun has started to stream into the room and it's just a slow kind of like awareness, like, oh, I'm not sleeping, but I'm not awake. I'm floating in this blissful space. Mm-hmm. And in that place, when I was started to come back and fully into the waking state, I realized that I had never really touched through a practice like deep relaxation or even Shavasana, such a deep, profound place of resting in nothingness mm-hmm. in such a short period of time. And what I realized in that moment was, wait a second, this is not something that the teacher is doing. Because, you know, a lot of times we go to classes and it's like, oh, mm-hmm. the teacher is doing this and the teacher is doing mm-hmm. that. This is something that's already part of me. this still blissful place is a place that's in me that's being revealed by this practice somehow. And I didn't know any of the ways in which the practice could work, but I did know that it was really profound. And at that time in my life, I was a film producer in Hollywood. So part of my life was about doing and making sure that it was done as well as possible. And I also happened to work for and with someone that was really identified kind of in the ego with how many projects we had on our list of development projects. So we had, as a very tiny company, more than some of the bigger companies had on their development list. And this was kind of like in the culture, like, oh, we're going to do all these things. We're going to do more. We're going to compete. We're going to this, we're going to that. And so there was a lot happening. And it was not unusual to work for 16 or 18 hour days, especially if we were filming at the time, which we were often were. So I started actually using the practice of yoga nidra and deep relaxation as a way to become more rested, because I was low on sleep, right? And I was low on, and I didn't drink coffee. So it was like, this is my secret kind of potion to be able to stay alert, to be inspired. And then at some point I started to realize that that attitude was actually very extractive. It was me laying down to do a practice to get something from it. Like, I'm going to hack sleep, or I'm going to hack the fact that I'm not, you know, resting enough. And it allowed me to really be so much to problem solve in such a different way than I would normally. That was the first thing that I started to notice, is that by practicing yoga nidra and also deepening my meditation practice, that I could solve problems almost like the answers were coming down out of nowhere. And in a way, it felt like my mind had so much less distraction and so much more clarity that I was able to see answers more readily. And then eventually I began to see the practice as something that was actually much more sacred than what I was giving it credit for being, because I was looking for ways to optimize, right? And when we look for ways to optimize, sometimes we don't see the sacredness in some of the practices that we're doing.
And would you say that now, after all of these years, practice, teaching, learning, diving deep into these things, the old Tracy, the film producer, the one who was doing and perhaps running and making things happen, is there still a little bit of that part active in you, and you're realizing it from time to time, and then you do more of the rest you need? Or would you say, like, no, over the years everything changed, and this old version is not really visible anymore on the surface?
Oh, that's such a great question. So there's a couple things I would say to that, is that I have that ability to be able to get things done because I'm able to problem solve, right? And to see things from maybe a different perspective than I would if I was super distracted. But I think what has changed is, in me, is the realization for the reason for wanting to do so much, right? Is that when I, the more I practiced, the more I began to realize that, oh, my self-worth is actually tied to the doing, right? My self-worth is tied to the doing. And yet there's also a part of me that has fear of success, because of past things in the past, right? That being super successful is not completely safe because of things in the past. So as a result, what I was doing and what I realized I was doing is that I was outsourcing my own creativity, my own inspiration, so that others could be super successful, so that I could stay safe in one way, and then I could still be validated by the things that I was doing for others. And just because I was good at it, and this is a teaching from the Bhagavad Gita, just because I'm good at something doesn't mean that it's my dharma to do it. So yes, if someone were to say tomorrow, hey, I want to produce this movie, I want to do da-da-da-da-da, I could do that with my eyes closed, but it doesn't mean that it's dharmic for me to do. So that is one thing that I learned. And then to answer the other part of your question is that even though that part of me is still alive, right, that knows how, the reason for why and how I would do it is different. And so my ability to be able to create boundaries, that was the first thing that I think I really began to notice outwardly from my practice, was that I started to realize that I needed to create boundaries in my own work life around, okay, my phone gets turned off at 7 o'clock. I don't roll calls after this amount of time. And I started to protect the space that I realized that I needed. Oh, I work much better. I feel much better when I go to sleep at 10 o'clock at night. I'm much more inspired and creative when I wake up just before the sunrise. Right. And so if I start to create boundaries, which is what I did in my work life around, this is when my day starts and this is when my day ends, it started to create a container for me to rest in a different way, to rest and to sleep, I would say. So the answer really is that, yes, I still have those skills. They didn't go away. My desire to use them and the reason why is different, you know?
I love it. It's nice. I love it. What would you say to somebody who never got in touch with Yoga Nidra, who never read about it, who never experienced it? How, if that is even possible, would you describe it, what the practice is really about?
You know, what I would offer for someone who has never practiced or heard of Yoga Nidra is that Yoga Nidra is a deep relaxation technique that allows you to move through different states of consciousness, waking, dreaming, deep sleep, and moving towards what's called the fourth, which is also said to be this place that is peace beyond words. And that it allows you to also touch into this place within you that is always awake and aware, and to allow your awareness to kind of weave through the transitions as you move through these states of consciousness. And so it's a way for your body to really receive deep rest. And at the same time, it's a full system of yoga.
And
so it is, yeah.
No, sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, at the same time, it's a full system of yoga. So it is the means to arrive at this place of samadhi, right? And it is the final goal of yoga itself. So a lot of times we think about Yoga Nidra or deep relaxation practices as something that you do at the end of a, you know, yoga asana class. You don't have to do a single asana or pose. The only pose that you need to do is to allow yourself to be on the earth or on your bed or on some surface where you are completely supported and held. And that's the practice, really, is allowing yourself to be held, allowing yourself to release enough that you can be held by the earth and know that you are worthy of being held. And when that happens, you go on a journey, and it's different for everyone.
And then there is the fact that a lot of times, it is really close, always with the topic of sleep. And you are talking about that also in your book, that it is really helpful to use it as a practice for people who have problems to fall asleep. But the state of the fact, are we sleeping? Are we not sleeping? What is it in this? What is it with this connection? Because when I went to my first yoga nidra class, it was in Bali, and I came out of there and I thought, what was that? What was happening here? It was almost like a, and I was like, I felt so free. And I was like, it took the way back to the house we rented, and it felt like that I was almost flying. And I could not tell to somebody, I was sleeping. No, I was not sleeping, but I was also not awake. I was something in between. And I was, so how is the connection with the sleeping here?
So yes, the body can fall asleep.
And that's okay if it is.
And the mind can fall asleep. It's not unusual that, and those people who practice yoga nidra or maybe even in shavasana, have you ever been in yoga nidra or in shavasana and felt like, oh, the person next to me is snoring.
Yes.
I can hear them snoring. But then you realize, oh, wait, that's me. That's me snoring. I'm hearing myself snoring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what part of you is awake enough to realize that you are snoring if the body is asleep? It's coming in touch with that part of us that is always awake, that part of us that is eternal, that is said to have been there before you had a name and will be there when you no longer have a body. Mm-hmm. And that is the one who is always watching. The one who is always observing, the one that when we're so focused on the outer world and all of the distractions that we don't touch into. So yes, the body can be asleep. And there have been experiments that have been done as far back in the 70s and as recent as the mid 2000s, where teachers of yoga nidra have been experimented, done these research studies where they have the EEG connected to their brain, and they have had full conversations and actually been in the states of theta and delta, where we really should have all external awareness turned off, or where they have gone into the practice of yoga nidra. And by all accounts from all of the EEG readings, they were sleeping. But yet when they come back to the waking state, they repeat back to, you know, the technicians, this was the conversation that was happening during this time where I was in theta and delta.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. And those experiments were done at the Meninger Institute with Swami Rama. And then later in the 2000s, Swami Veda replicated some of those experiments with Dr. Dean Radin at the Center for Noetic Sciences.
There is a really nice part also in your book where it is explained that usually at the end of the practice, it is like common to rest the awareness at the heart. And it is such a nice part with this practice. What would you say, what happens when we really do so, when we rest our awareness at the heart center?
Well, this is a good question because it connects into what we just spoke about. And it's different from tradition to tradition, right? So I don't want to say there's only one way to touch the true self, or there's only one way to touch the light of the true self, because I don't believe that that is true. But one of the instructions is that the heart center, the spiritual heart center, kind of deep behind the sternum, is the portal to this place that is the fourth state, that is this place of Turiya, right? This place that is peace beyond bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And that place of Turiya is said to be a state that underlies all of the other states, but we're just unaware of it because we're focused on, we're having a conversation right now. I'm in the waking state. Mm-hmm. How am I going to touch into this deep place within me? And so resting awareness at the heart allows you to perhaps have an experience of that, because we have to remember that yoga nidra is a technique. It's a technique that guides us towards the portal to the state of yoga nidra. Yoga nidra is not something as a state that you can make happen. Mm-hmm. It is something that descends by grace. So by practicing these deep relaxation practices and yoga nidra practices, what we're doing is we're just preparing ourselves to receive. And if we really think about this idea of receiving, it's like receiving with open palms, receiving with open heart, receiving with a clear mind. And then we also have to acknowledge that there are many people who have trauma and PTSD, and that this idea of laying down in a vulnerable, open position is not always feeling safe. For any of us on any given day, it might not feel safe. So this practice of allowing our awareness to rest in the heart is a very kind of sacred practice that really should be done with reverence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave it there. It's something that needs to be experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we all have access to. It's not something we have to pay for. Resting our awareness at the heart, we don't have to pay for that.
And it's already really nice to just read about it. I was already touched when I read about it. So I think it's really nice. You are, there is a part in your book that I read a few times, and I want to read it and talk with you about it. It is, you are saying, according to a recent survey, 71% of us are sleeping with our phones in our hands, in our beds, or at least within reach on our nightstands. We have created lives where our attention focuses on the external, gathering data and information, seeking validation through likes, and succumbing to intense FOMO that makes it hard to turn off the device that link us to the outside world 24/7. It's what we said a little bit also at the beginning. And it is this idea, oh my God, we could miss something. And at the same time, the main reason why people are not practicing or resting is that we are not having time. So how are you bringing that together? And how you experienced that for yourself, because I think you had that excuse as well when you had been in the film industry. You also didn't have time to rest, I guess. So,
yeah, I mean, I didn't even know, you know, the only thing that I knew about rest prior to receiving that practice when I was, you know, producing films is luckily that my dad had always said, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? That was a saying, I think, from Benjamin Franklin. And so he always went to bed very early and woke up early. Mm-hmm. And I was able to see that as an example of not burning the candle at both ends. Like lots of my friends were doing, like going out and, you know, staying out all night and then going to work like an hour later. So that was something that I think I learned very early on. But this idea of intentional rest, of, you know, something, you know, it was definitely, I don't have time to take a nap, right? I don't have time to take a nap. What I didn't know was that if I had been taking naps, even if I had never been introduced to the practice of yoga nidra, if I had been taking naps, I would have been much, much more healthy, much more vibrant. But then this goes back to this idea of trauma, and we can talk about the intergenerational trauma, is that as a Black woman in America, you don't want to be seen as resting because there's this stigma of laziness, right? And so I wasn't going to be resting. And now I can reclaim this power of rest for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about that when we started the interview, because I just this morning I just listened to a podcast where she's from Turkey and she's a human rights activist, and she's exactly saying that when they moved to Germany many, many years ago, that she always needed to be active. She always needed the one doing things and doing it right, and a 200%. And I was thinking about that there is this connection there to rest is even more complicated. And that must have been the same for you at that time, I guess.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is why we love the work of Tricia Hershey from the NAP Ministry, because she is also speaking very loudly and at the same time modeling what it looks like for a Black woman to reclaim mm-hmm. Rest in a world where it's really not safe all the time to do so. And so to answer your question about time, you know, we make time for what we think is important, mm-hmm. right? We make time for what we think is important. And what we have to realize is that many of these corporations and companies have dug so deep into our own psychology that they know us and our psychology and what makes us tick more than we know. And that's why you can go to any restaurant and you can see two people having dinner and they're both looking at their phones. We've lost this idea of what it really means to have human connection in some way. Mm-hmm. And what I also love, and you kind of hinted at this a little bit when you talked about your Yoga Nidra experience, is that Yoga Nidra connects us to this place that feels timeless. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is the more you practice, or at least this has been my experience, the more I have practiced, the more I have a different relationship with time. I no longer feel like this idea that we've been sold kind of by commercial yoga of a class needs to be this long, 30 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes. Otherwise, it's not valid, right? I reclaim my time and I say, okay, I have 3 minutes between now and my next call. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lie down, practice diaphragmatic breathing, hear the mantra that naturally rides on my breath, rest my awareness at the heart center. And that's my 3 minute practice to allow myself to receive that rest in 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if I have another 10 minute window later in the day, I can do the same for longer. I can practice a body scan in 10 minutes and rest, right? And before I know it, at the end of the day, even though maybe I have been working all day or I've been quote unquote doing all day, I have managed to reclaim 20, 30, maybe even an hour of rest because I've allowed myself to reframe the idea of practice. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing one practice at a specific period of time for a specific amount of time, I've actually allowed my practice to weave through my entire day. Mm-hmm. And I've allowed that to actually be a frame of support that helps me to become more wise. And, you know, there is one of the Yoga Sutras that says that the knowledge that comes from the support of sleep and dreams allows us to awaken to the truth of who we really are. Mm-hmm. And so if we can remember that and ask ourselves every time we decide to pick up the phone, what's more important to me, to know what Kim Kardashian is wearing today, or for me to touch into my true self and to be a better human being and a better support to my community because of it.
And it comes back to the choices and why they are so important for our lives, right? That's exactly what you explained also at the beginning. And you are writing really nice also that that it is so helpful or kind of like eye-opening when the choices that we are making are in alignment with the future self.
That's right. Thank you for pulling that thread out. Yes. And so who are we wanting to be? Who are we meant to be? Mm. Who do we dream to be? Who is our best self? Right? Who are those parts and what are those parts of us that we know don't serve us, that we are ready to lay down? And when we focus on what is in alignment with our gifts and our passions, and we remember what they are, because a lot of what is happening and what happens in culture is it makes us forget, right? Is that the minute I pick up the phone and I see what, you know, Susie is doing and she's on vacation in wherever on the beach, then I want to do that because I feel like I'm missing out. And all of a sudden I've forgotten about the very thing that I really, that my heart wants to do. And imagine we're doing this multiple times a day. So there's a level of forgetting that happens when we allow ourselves to be distracted. And the practice of yoga nidra and the practice of yoga just in general is a practice that helps us to amplify smriti, or what's known as memory or retention. And it's the memory of who we really are.
And what is really nice is, I need to say that again, because you gave the example of if we have just 3 minutes, we can lay down on the floor, practice the breathing, whatever. The book is really nice exactly for that. Because with all the things that you listed at the end, there is automatically coming the idea of it is possible to pull parts out of it, to try that or to integrate that just at the morning, or one thing just at the evening. And I think that is really important also for the listeners to mention, that it doesn't mean that we always need to have these long practice, but that we can work with parts of your book, or with just even I had a really nice experience by just reading two sides in the morning and then just sit a little bit quiet and think about it and then go into the day. And I think that makes it really special. And what I loved about it, and I want to hear more about, because I think that is also a part where you are specialist about it, is the meaning of the self-inquiry. So there is a lot of self-inquiry in the book, and really, really nice ones. And you are also mentioning it, the meaning to the self-inquiry after the practice. What is so special about it, and why is it important to write some of the facts down as fast as possible?
So self-inquiry, you know, the practice of self-inquiry that I have in the book is inspired by the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, who became enlightened at 16 by asking the question over and over, who am I? Who am I? And what I found in practicing that is, because we have so many distractions, there's so many layers. Like, how can I get to who am I when, like, the real who am I? When I answer those questions, I'm answering, you know, from a place of identity, ego identity. And so that was my first kind of dive into self-inquiry. And then when I started to practice yoga nidra, the first thing that I realized was that, wow, I have all these ideas and all these things pouring in, and they're so clear. So I began to journal right after Yoga Nidra. And I just would, you know, my whole book is written in that way. It's like I would practice Yoga Nidra and then I would write. So I discovered it as a creative practice. And then what I realized also is that there's such clarity that if there are questions that really need to be asked, I can learn so much about myself. And I can learn who I am, and I can also learn who I am not if I ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so the self-inquiry, the reason why I have the self-inquiry there is because knowing a little bit about what's talked about in the Yoga Sutras about samskaras and vasanas and how our personalities are created and how our beliefs are created, that I wanted people to be able to have a way to really get to know themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the self-inquiry is there. The reason for the writing as fast as you can, which I call free writing, is because what I noticed in classes is that when you would ask a self-inquiry question, people a lot of times, they start looking up and you can feel them going into the mind as opposed to being in the heart and answering from the true place. Mm-hmm. It's like the conditioning for us is still there. Well, what's the right way to answer this? Mm-hmm. Right? Am I doing it right? How is it going to sound the best?
Okay.
And it's like, this is a practice that no one is reading. No one is reading the your self-inquiry answers, right? This is between you and your soul. And so what I also found is that after practicing self-inquiry for such a long time, when I would go back and I would read my free writing or I would read my own self-inquiry questions that I was asking myself, there was so much wisdom there that really resonated and was able to help guide me. And so I really think that these practices are meant for us to evolve as people and to clear our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part of what we've done in modern yoga is that, it's kind of like once the class is over, we roll up the mat and we get in the car and we get on the phone. Yoga Nidra specifically is about observing the transitions, being able to rest in the transitions and to receive the wisdom that comes from that space. And so if we have a practice like free writing or self-inquiry where we can really start to teach ourselves to observe and honor that space, I feel like so much magic, so much wisdom, so much inspiration, creativity, love, and beauty can come from that space. So in a way, for me, adding self-inquiry, which I've been doing for years after a practice, is a way to help us to observe that transition and to learn to receive and to hear and to deeply listen and to honor also our intuition and our own inner knowing.
And that receiving that you practice there and that listening that you practice there, that is also something you take with you in the outer life. Right? You have a different sense then of receiving what you hear from other people and what you see, or?
Yeah. So it's two things. It's you get to process and integrate. It's a practice of smriti, a way to remember. And yet we still forget. Right? That's the biggest thing. We still forget.
And there we are, because when I read the part in your book that is about the daily sadhana, and the daily sadhana is so important, and you write about it also. It is
somehow the discipline that we need to have for these daily sadhana, but at the same time also, and I love that, the idea of having the compassion for ourselves. And what would you say, how in the best way possible can we bring that together?
Well, that's a really good question again. I love your questions. And so what I would say, and this is a quote from the book, right, is let discipline transform into devotion. Mm-hmm. And your
that's
life
a hard
will be...
one. Yeah. It's a really nice one. And it's feelable, like, I would love to. And it's a long way, right?
It really depends, because it's really about softening the edges. Mm-hmm. It's really about, instead of having a hard, I've got to practice from 2 to 4 or whatever mm-hmm. it is, it's a weaving. Mm-hmm. It's a weaving, right? If we think about when some of these practices were codified and written about, it was thousands and thousands of years ago, mm-hmm. right? And the practice was life. It wasn't on a little square or rectangle yoga mat. Mm-hmm. The practice was life. It was integrated into all of life. And so I feel like we've lost a lot by not allowing ourselves to rediscover that beauty. And if we can start with the devotion to self, which can be part of our resting practices, part of walking in nature or observing nature, listening to the natural cycles of our own body and the seasons within our own life, and honoring that, it will change. Mm-hmm. We don't have, at least when I look around, I don't see a lot of honoring. I don't see a lot of belief that we deserve to devote anything to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so the question really is, it's like, are you willing to practice self-devotion? Is every time you get on your yoga mat or on your meditation cushion, is it an act of self-devotion? Or is it an act of something else? And why? Mm-hmm. And so that discipline, can have a hard edge to it, and it can have memories of discipline from a young age that mm-hmm. are not positive. And so when we bring that into our practice, it can get very tricky. Mm-hmm. Because when we miss a day, quote unquote, we beat ourselves up. We throw in the towel. We say, oh, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I can't do this every day. I can't believe I can't do this every day. What's wrong with me? I can't sit down for just 15 minutes. But when you create a weaving, you're creating a weaving of love mm-hmm. throughout the day, not a weaving of judgment or a weaving of shame. And it's still a form of discipline. It's just softened with love.
Oh, I love that. And the book is such a good helping is such a like a how you say such a good add-on to help in that, because it has this softness that you describe now. It is like in between lines, and that is really helpful. Tracy, the last questions: what would we say, what we have too much of in this world?
Well, we have, I believe, too many ways to distract ourselves from our own mm-hmm. beauty, mm. from our own core essence, from our own worthiness. And that keeps us from being able to rest. Because when we rest, we're resting with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And what we need more?
What we need more is love. What we need more is love, compassion, understanding, connection, being able to see ourselves in the other, and then realizing and asking the question, is there really an other?
Is there a book or something that you read that inspired you and that you would like to give as a tip for the listeners, or just something that you felt really good with? Or
there's so many good books.
Yeah, I guess. Perhaps the last one you read, or one that suits to the conversation we had.
Yeah, you know, the book that comes to mind is written by my dear friend and sister, Octavia Rahim. And her book is called Pause, Rest, Be. And it is filled with poetry and practices and beauty and transitions. And I think that it's if you're interested in rest and you want to be inspired, that's a really good book. That's a really good book. It's a beautiful book.
That sounds great. Tracy, we recommend really from our hearts your wonderful book, Radiant Rest. But let us know, the ones who listen now and who are saying, wow, what is that for an incredible woman? I want to do more with her. I want to practice with her online or whatever. How is that possible? How can people find you? How we can work with you?
Thank you for asking. So the best way to find me and where to work with me and rest with me is empoweredlifecircle.com. That's where I would say to look for everything. Hopefully in 2023, I'll be in Europe. So you can also check tracyyoga.com. That has all of my retreats coming up for next this year and moving into next year. We'll have some things being posted. So those are the ways.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Tracy, it was an honor having you. It was really, really nice speaking to you. It was really heartwarming and it was really nice. I felt really comfortable with you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate hearing that. Thank you. I'm really honored to be with you, Simone. And I hope to meet you and maybe rest next to you one day in person.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, vielen Dank fürs Dabeisein. Vielen Dank an die wunderbare Tracy für dieses schöne Interview. Wir empfehlen euch von Herzen das Buch Radiant Rest, Yoga Nidra for Deep Relaxation and Awakened Clarity, weil wir sehr daran glauben, dass Yoga Nidra ein ganz, ganz toller Beitrag für den hektischen Alltag sein kann, den wir manchmal alle haben. Wer mehr über Tracy erfahren möchte, bekommt Informationen unter www.tracyyoga.com. Wer mit ihr praktizieren möchte, schaut sich am besten den Empowered Life Circle unter www.empoweredlifecircle.com an. Und ja, wir wünschen euch alles Liebe. Wir freuen uns, wenn ihr beim nächsten Mal wieder mit dabei seid. Es warten spannende Folgen. Werft einen Blick ins Magazin. Wir freuen uns, wenn ihr uns abonniert oder auf Instagram vorbeischaut. Alles Liebe und bis bald.